The story of Madam C.J. Walker is one of the great American stories. Born to newly freed slaves in 1867, she went on to found a cosmetics empire. When she died in 1919, C.J. Walker was a millionaire when a millionaire was very rich indeed. She was a political activist and philanthropist and had provided black women with a new sense of themselves. For our Tuesday series, Who Says It's Beautiful?, NPR's special correspondent Susan Stamberg asks Madam Walker's great-great-granddaughter about beauty and blacks.
According to Alelia Bundles, Madam C.J. Walker didn't start out in the beauty business. Miss Bundles' book about her ancestry is called On Her Own Ground. She was more interested in health care, wasn't she?
Well, she really was. She has become sort of entwined with the whole idea of African-American women and straightening hair. But her initial problem was that she was going bald. And she came up with a formula for a product that contained sulfur, and sulfur healed the scalp disease that was so rampant during the day when women only washed their hair once a month. So it was really about hygiene and appearance.
This was late 19th century.
Late 19th century.
And customs were different. So the goal at the start was not to straighten the hair.
The goal was to have hair.
Yeah. But the byproduct of her work was some straightening.
That's absolutely right. Once the hair began to grow back, you had to be able to comb it. And African Americans have hair that's much kinkier than Europeans. You know, I think from the beginning of time, women have altered their look. They've worn wigs, they've straightened their hair, they've curled their hair, they've done all of those things. And Madam Walker used a heated metal comb. She didn't invent it, but she used that to comb through the hair to straighten the hair. She thought that was better than a device called pullers, which was kind of a torture device. If you just imagine two metal hockey pucks on the end of a scissor-like device, you would heat that and pull it through the hair. Well, she said, well, that flattens the hair. Mm-hmm. She thought the comb separated the strands and made it more natural.
Well, what was the notion of beauty behind that then? Was it straight is beautiful, kinky is not?
Yes, certainly during the late 19th century, early 20th century, the standards of beauty were very, very European. Much of the leadership among African Americans, they were very Victorian, very straight-laced, very upright, church-going people, and they wanted to do the proper thing, whether it was W.E.B. Du Bois or Booker T. Washington or Ida B. Wells. People wanted to have an appearance that they were truly American. They still believed in being American. And at that point, most African Americans lived in the rural South, 90%. So people had very different, more country, unsophisticated lifestyles. And as they began to move to the cities, especially in the World War I era, people began to adopt some of the more sophisticated aesthetics that they would see among people who were city dwellers. So Madam Walker was very aware of this controversy about light skin and straight hair versus kinky hair and darker skin. But I think she saw that there was some aesthetic that was being created for African Americans, like jazz maybe. Maybe our hair is like jazz in that it's an amalgamation of all of the cultures that we are.
But where did she and the way she pitched her products fit into that?
You know, in the old ads, there's really some more of this psychological tyranny where the standards of beauty are really European. And you could almost tell which companies were white-owned and which companies were black-owned. Huh. Because in some of the before and after pictures, the companies that were really exploiting the insecurity that African-American women may have felt about their hair and their skin color would have these before and after pictures where the before was kinky hair sticking out, blotchy skin, and the after was a Gibson girl. Mm-hmm. When, of course, no African-American woman could become a Gibson girl.
Straight hair piled on top
of her head. Piled on top of her
head. Straight wisps coming
exactly,
down her face.
Exactly.
Yeah, and but she didn't. She changed the message.
Absolutely changed the message. She used her own image in her advertisements.
What was that?
And that was, her before and after picture showed her with her hair very short and sticking out a little bit, and then the after picture was her hair down her back. But it wasn't straightened, it was full and bushy. This was the image of a transformation of a very African-looking woman, and it appealed to the women who were buying her products.
Well, she was saying, you can look like me and you can be rich like me, because she was.
Absolutely. It was really the message of hope in a jar. It wasn't just about changing your look. Very much entwined in her message was, you can make money, you can become economically independent.
Let's cut now to the 1960s, and still that connection between hair and a political message. The message in the 60s was black is beautiful, and that did not mean straight hair at all. She was criticized in those years, wasn't she?
Absolutely. And, you know, and as her great-great-granddaughter, I felt the criticism in a really personal way, because I had always had, you know, long hair, then I had a perm, and my hair was straightened. And I remember in high school in the late 1960s, the trauma that I went through within my own family about getting an afro. In the same way that young white kids during that era wanted to let their hair grow long and below their ears, a lot of black kids were fighting with their parents who said, how can you possibly have your hair be nappy? How can it be kinky? But that was a statement. And, you know, I think that when I look back on that era, people said, oh, long hair, everyone loves long hair. And long hair made me feel cute, I think. But when I had my hair natural, I felt strong.
Mm.
And that was a very important thing for me during that period of time.
Thank you very much. Alelia Bundles, her history of her great-great-grandmother is called On Her Own Ground, The Life and Times of Madam C.J. Walker. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.
Next Tuesday, our series, Who Says It's Beautiful?, takes up fairy tale ideals of beauty. Previous stories in the series are at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.